From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fourth day of October 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hear the latest forecast from the U.S. Grains Council of China's corn crop. Update the Corn Belt State Statistician's Crop Progress Reports. Look at the agricultural energy forecast with GrowMark's Harry Cooney and the weather forecast with Don Day. And it all takes place right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon. Futures lower for the day. December wheat down 15 and a half at 604. July at 681 and three quarters, 11 cents lower. That for the soft red. December corn futures 587 and three quarters, 4 3/4 lower. March at $6.75, down 5 1/4. May corn $6.85, down 5 1/4. And July at 613 3/4, 5 1/2 lower. September futures 584 and 3/4, down 5 3/4. And December corn of next year $5.60 3/4, a penny and 3/4 lower. November beans today $11.60, down 17 1/2. January at 11.71 3/4, down 17. The March at 11.81 1/4, 18 and rather 16 3/4 lower. The May at $11.89 1/2, down 15 1/2. And July beans $11.97 1/2, down 15 1/4. Next year's November at $11.80 1/2 for the 2012 contract, down 12 1/4 cents. Bean meal at $2.98.30, down 4.90 on the afternoon. And soybean oil at $48.79, down 97 cents. Live cattle. Cattle futures finished the October at $121.25, down $2.07. December at $121.55, $1.77 1/2 for 100 pounds lower. And the October feeder cattle at $138.90, down $2.90, rather down $2.10 for the day. November feeders at $140.90 were down $1.95. October lean hogs $93.40, up 27 1/2 cents. December futures, the other green contract in Chicago, up just a nickel at $86.85. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $75.59 a barrel, down $2.02. Ethanol for the day at $2.45 8/10, down 4 2/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $3.64 3/10, that's 2 6/10 lower, or rather higher. Heating oil at $2.71 8/10, down 3 4/10. And the gold futures for the day at $1,614.70 an ounce, down $41.30. The Dow now stands just about 190 points lower at 10,465. The dollar at 79.5, up 0.14. The CRB at 293.18, down 3.2 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high near 79 degrees. South-southeast winds at about 3 to 5 miles an hour tonight. Mostly clear. A low of 49 degrees. South-southeast winds at 5 miles an hour. On Wednesday, we should see sunny skies, a high of 81. South winds at about 6. Wednesday night, clear. A low of 52. Again, southeast winds at about 6, and Thursday, sunny, a high of 80 degrees. South-southeast winds between 6 and 8 miles an hour. Thursday night should be mostly clear, a low of 54. Friday, sunny, and a high of 81. Friday night, mostly clear for football, and a low of 56. Saturday, sunny, and a high near 81 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear, a low of 55. Sunday, sunny, and a high near 79. Sunday night, mostly clear, and a low of 55. On Columbus Day, sunny, with a high of 79 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast coming to you at the bottom of the half hour. Then we'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
It is beautiful harvest weather. The combine's moving in your area, finally, I bet.
Oh, they're flying along, mostly doing beans over in our neck of the woods, but they're flying along and a lot of beans coming out of the field.
And what do they think about their yields?
Everybody's been fairly happily surprised, or pleasantly surprised, I guess you would say, yielding a little bit better than what we thought that they would earlier here. And, you know, we're in a lot of the yields with upper fives and sixes in front of them. So we're pleasantly surprised, and I think that's why FC Stone raised their soybean yield projection.
And I saw that they did that, but I don't have the number in front of me. They did the same for the corn, too. What were those two numbers?
Well, they said for the national average that they went up to 148.7, and I think they were at 146.3 before on that, and they went up like 1.8 bushels. They were at 41 bushel on the beans, Todd, so increased yields there. And, you know, their totals, though, are saying they're assuming the USDA harvested acres, which we look to come down in the next report, but that'd be a 12.5 corn crop and a 3.15 bean crop.
And those are just about on line with where we are at this point. Expectations from producers that they're going to store both their corn and soybeans if they can at this point?
I think at these levels we're seeing farmers use all the bins they have on the farm. It's because they are feeling that there is a little bit of a oomph down the road. Chance should be back over $6, and they think they'll get back over $12.50. Is that the right thing to do? Not 100% sure, but that is what the farmer is doing out there right now.
Did you really ever think we'd store $5.87 corn?
No.
I was just looking at that number.
And
thinking,
even just a year ago, I wouldn't think we'd been at
$5.87. Oh, my Lord. So they've got a few more bushels probably. And I suppose that makes them a bit happier at this point, but they're still awfully concerned. And the outside markets are really not very good at this point. There's more thought that Greece simply is going to default. And I know that we've talked on this show about that already being built into the marketplace, but it looks like that it's going to happen more likely than not at this point, I think.
The world financial markets have been the devastation of the grain markets as of the last 5 weeks, Todd. I mean, basically, we are every day talking about the problems of either our economy or the world economy. And, you know, Bernanke didn't help any things with saying that we're extremely fragile and that they have some other plans in mind to help us with some stimuluses too after the long-term debt was to be alleviated and lowering long-term interest rates. Why we shouldn't have to come back in and do some stuff here, but our job situation is just very rough, and it's very it's going to be very hard on the markets to overcome all the outside financials.
And I suppose it makes it difficult for you and for producers both to navigate what they ought to be doing with the crop that they're harvesting at this point.
Well, it's very hard for two reasons. Is number one, a lot of them are saying, hey, with the later planted corn or beans, we don't know how it's going to yield. And number two, what the world financial situation is going to be in a month here. We have more people that talk about actually selling some down the road now because they're worried about the economic situation rather than the corn and bean demand.
Is there any final word before I let you go?
That's about it for today, Todd.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear him again in a couple of ways on our website at willag.org, on your mobile phone, and the mobile website at m.willag.org, or just on your phone by dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We call that last one our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail, updated at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day, with either the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
This morning, the United States Grains Council predicted a record corn harvest for China. Farmers there, they say, have steadily been increasing their annual harvest over the last 6 years, up some 34%. This fall, the Grains Council expects that harvest will top 6.6 billion bushels of corn from 76.35 million acres. That's a national average yield for China of 86 bushels to the acre. It's a record breaker, says Don Hutchins, the executive director of the Nebraska Corn Board. He was on the council's 15th annual corn crop tour of China and says the wide range of harvesting techniques there impressed him.
I have to admit, these farmer visits were very revealing. We did have the opportunity, the four state execs, to visit with three very different producers. A 55-year-old man that had 3 hectares and shared information about his crop. His crop was hand-harvested at a cost of about 2,200 yuan per hectare. Then we had the delightful experience to meet a 78-year-old woman who had her daughter's crop harvested and piled by her home, and she now adorns a Kansas corn cap. A younger producer that was having his crop mechanically harvested at a cost of about 1,000 yuan per hectare using a John Deere tractor and a two-row picker.
The Chinese corn harvest, like that in the United States, is now underway. It's a big crop, but not big enough. The U.S. Grains Council's Tom Doerr says China will have to import corn to meet its domestic needs.
We have been suggesting, based on our best assessments, that the demand for China corn in the coming crop year, the year beginning October 1, probably through December of 2012, is going to be between 5 and 10 million metric tons.
That's 200 to 400 million bushels of corn. Tom Doerr says it would be imported from all around the world. Now, let's turn our attention from the second largest corn crop on the planet to the number one corn crop on the planet, right here in the United States. An update coming to you from the state statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana.
This is Nick Schauer, Deputy Director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 2nd, 2011. Dry weather across much of Iowa helped dry down corn and soybeans, advancing harvest progress. But the dry conditions, along with high winds, resulted in the spread of field fires. Statewide precipitation averaged just 0.29 inch during the week, compared with a normal of 0.68 inches. With showers across only the eastern third of Iowa, this was the ninth week of the past 10 to bring less than normal rainfall. Temperatures for the week range from a high of 88 degrees to a morning low of 26. Statewide temperatures average 1.1 degrees below normal. There were 6.1 days suitable for fieldwork statewide during the past week. Meanwhile, topsoil and subsoil moisture levels continued to decline and are now rated at 42 and 46% adequate to surplus, respectively. 91% of the corn crop is now mature, 1 week ahead of normal. 12% of the corn crop has been harvested for grain or seed, behind last year's 18%, but ahead of the normal 10%. The moisture content of corn being harvested is running at 21%, while the corn left to harvest throughout the state is averaging 24%, both 1 percentage point lower than normal. Corn lodging remains an issue, with 16% of Iowa's corn crop experiencing moderate to heavy lodging, 9 points higher than a year ago. 8% of the corn crop is experiencing moderate to heavy ear droppage, compared to only 4% in 2010. 98% of the soybean crop has turned color, equal to both last year and the five-year average. 82% of Iowa's soybean fields are dropping leaves, but developing still lags 3 days behind last year and normal. Soybean harvest advanced 18 points from last week and now stands at 21% complete. Soybean lodging is slightly worse than last year, but shattering levels are nearly identical to last year at this time. The condition of the corn and soybean crops both improved this week and are now rated at 58 and 65% good to excellent, respectively. Pasture and range conditions declined again this week and now stand at only 28% good to excellent. This is Nick Schauer reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending October 2nd. Temperatures remain below normal for yet another week, averaging 56.6 degrees statewide. The average for this 7-day period is 61.9 degrees. These cooler than normal temperatures also brought with them some light frost towards the end of the week. The majority of the state received above-average rainfall, with isolated areas receiving as much as 4 inches. Other areas, mostly in the western portion, reported rainfall below normal. Statewide, corn in the mature stage advanced to 91% compared to 98% last year and 79% for the 5-year average. 32% of the corn crop was reported harvested. compared with 72% last year and 36% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn harvest activity was the Southwestern District, where 61% had been harvested. Overall, the corn crop was rated in 42% good or excellent condition, up 2 percentage points from the previous week. Soybeans shedding leaves were reported at 77%, compared to 89% a year ago and 81% for the five-year average. 12% of the crop was reported harvested, compared with 46% 1 year ago and 27% for the five-year average. Overall, the soybean crop was rated in 50% good or excellent condition, up 4 percentage points from last week. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean harvest activity was the East Southeastern District, where 20% was reported harvested by week's end. Soft red winter wheat seeding continued at a slow pace, advancing by only 2 percentage points to 9% complete, compared to 18% a year ago and 13% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln. With no rainfall during the week, harvest progress of all fall crops was on pace with average. Soybean harvest moved into full swing at 20% completed. However, green-stem soybeans were making early harvest difficult. Soybean conditions rated 78% good to excellent above 74 average. Corn harvest was 11% completed near 12 average. Corn conditions rated 73% good to excellent near average. Morning wheat seeding was 82% completed with about half of the crop emerged. A lack of moisture to carry the wheat crop through the winter months is starting to be a concern. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Dan Loftus, Deputy Director for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Warm, dry conditions allowed producers to make rapid progress harvesting soybeans this past week. As of October 2nd, soybeans harvested advanced 32 percentage points to reach 35% complete. This compares to 26% last year and 29% for the five-year average. Average moisture content for harvested soybeans was 13%. This is equal to last year and average. Corn chopped for silage was virtually complete at 96%. Corn was 80% mature compared to 90% last year and 73% average. The corn harvest advanced to 6% complete. This compares to 4% last year and 6% average. The average moisture content for harvested corn was 23%. Precipitation shortfalls continued despite light rain that fell Monday evening into Tuesday across the eastern third of the state. Statewide precipitation for September was the lowest since 1882. This is according to the Minnesota Climatology Working Group. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending October 2nd. Cloudy, wet weather slowed the corn and soybean crop from maturing and drying down. Scattered frost over the weekend killed some late-planted soybeans and slowed the drying rate of corn. Wet field conditions left the corn harvest about 23 days behind last year and 13 days behind the average harvest pace. Harvesting of the soybean crop is about 23 days behind last year and 14 days behind the average harvesting pace. If the weather cooperates, farmers are hoping to get one more cutting of hay in for the season. 97% of the corn crop is in the dense stage, compared to 100% for last year and 97% for the five-year average. 65% of the corn crop is mature, compared to 97% for last year and 75% for the five-year average. 10% of the corn crop has been harvested, compared to 61% for last year and 25% for the five-year average. Moisture content of corn harvested has been averaging about 24%. Corn condition, unchanged from last week, was rated at 33% good to excellent, compared to 57% last year at this time. 77% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared to 94% for last year and 85% for the five-year average. 5% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 60% for last year and 27% for the five-year average. The moisture content for harvested soybeans is averaging about 14%, and the soybean condition for the week was rated at 41% good to excellent, compared to 57% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS field office.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Our thanks to the folks at the State Statistician's Office in the five Corn Belt states that lead corn production in the U.S. of A. Now it's time to check in on the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney with GrowMark in Bloomington is with us. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Looks like a big harvest week out there.
It does look like a big harvest week, and that means producers will be captive in their cab. That's always good news for me, because usually they're tuning in when they're captive, because they're not doing something else other than listening.
That's right.
Well, they're harvesting, but they're captive in that cab, and we like to have that. What's the best bet advice that you've got for them?
Well, we're still seeing this market sell off. The energy markets tend to peak out in the fall and then slide into the late fall and early winter, and it appears that the peak this year was put in very early, and we've continued to try to slough off here in the past month or two. And in fact, right now, diesel fuel prices are about down to their lowest level that we've seen in several months here now. And some of this is coming on the strength in the U.S. dollar. The dollar definitely strong, and in fact, the dollar has strengthened considerably. It's at its highest level now since January versus the other currencies. And when the dollar rallies, it tends to put pressure on commodities and stocks. I mean, the stock market, of course, as we all know, has been tumbling here also this afternoon right there now, down 110 points. So it just keeps going down. Stock market now is trading at multi-month lows here now today. In fact, it's at its lowest level since about last September, so in over a year. And all that kind of gives a bearish cast to the oil markets. So in the near term here, we're using what we had contracted early and getting ready for some opportunities in the late fall and early winter to contract for next year.
And when do you think you'll be able to lock those things in? What's your bottom time frame?
Well, traditionally, the good traditional time period is from Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day. And right now, these weak prices, the downtrending market that we're seeing is just excellent. It's kind of falling into what we want to have happen, because if we'll continue to sell off, then we'll get some great opportunities to lock in product for next year. We have to remember that as all things look real bleak here and looks like the market wants to just fall right on down, at the same time, we have to remember world oil demand for 2012 is still projected at 90 million barrels, and that would be a record. So, again, we can have these dips in the market, but we'll look for opportunities over the next several months do some contracting.
Yeah, anything else that you've been watching that producers need to be aware of? So you're talking on diesel fuel, but what about other energies, propane, natural gas, those sorts of things?
Well, propane will be starting to look for the same opportunities in that December, January, and February for a year from now's usage. So we're going to start looking ahead at a whole year down the road from about Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day. We'll be looking at the gasoline, diesel fuel, and propane. Propane stocks here in the Midwest look adequate, getting through a harvest here in a good shape, using more propane than what we used last year. And then we'll get into the winter weather and see what it looks like. But right now, it looks like propane stocks should be adequate.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple minutes when we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. In the mean space, we'll say so long to some of our radio stations, and you have a great afternoon. Back in two for the rest of you.
It's National Taco Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1582, the day following October 4th became October 15th in most European countries as the Gregorian calendar was adopted. The old Julian calendar lived on in Britain and its colonies until 1752, in Japan until 1873, in China until 1912, in Russia until 1918, in Greece until 1923, and in Turkey until 1925. In 1879, Edward Murray East was born. An American biologist and chemist, he helped with the development of hybrid corn. Specifically, he applied inbred strain breeding to improve seed production. He analyzed the protein and fat content of corn to increase its nutritional value as animal feed. East studied the genetics and breeding not only of corn, but also tobacco and potatoes. And in 1995, Edward H. Lowe died. Lowe joined his father's company in Cassopolis, Michigan, selling industrial adsorbents, including sawdust and adsorbent clay called Fuller's Earth. In 1947, Lowe suggested the use of clay instead of ashes for his neighbor's cat box to avoid sooty cat prints. And he filled 10 bags with the clay and wrote on each one of them, "Kitty litter," the beginning of one of the largest U.S. producers of cat box filler. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon, Don Day with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, is back in the saddle to tell us a bit about what's going to happen across the Midwest. It is just a magnificent day, and it looks like the harvest weather will be great for the coming week. Am I wrong?
No. In fact, it really looks like timing is quite good. What we've got coming is a shift, sort of a reversal in the weather pattern. The warmer, drier conditions that have been off to our west for the last couple of weeks going to replace some of the cooler, unsettled weather that's been in the Great Lakes and Midwest here over the last week or two. So the timing is good. We've got very low humidity air coming in, strong high pressure, and there's going to be some storminess in the west, but it's going to have a hard time getting east into here. So we've got a stretch of weather here for a good week or longer that looks to be dry for the most part and warmer. We might see some shower activity returning to the area sometime next week. But for the rest of this week, through the weekend and into Monday and Tuesday, we just don't see a lot going on.
You mentioned that that dry weather was out west a bit earlier in the program today. We heard the state statistician from Iowa tell us the conditions there were very dry and have been for quite some time. Can you give us kind of an update of what Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota looks like at this point and when the last time they really got a good rainfall might have been?
Well, it's been weeks since there's been a good coverage of rain in those areas. Now, Minnesota, the Dakotas, Nebraska, probably going to fare well with some pretty good chances for shower activity and cooler weather settling in, especially central and northern Minnesota, then central and western areas of Nebraska. Eastern Nebraska and Iowa, yes, I see some precipitation. But at the moment, they're sort of right on the edge of the wetter weather to the west and the drier area that's going to be in the Midwest. So when you see a situation like that, you can't really count on getting that heavier moisture. If there is moisture in Iowa, it'll be in the far west.
The U.S. Grains Council this morning told us they expect that China will harvest a bumper corn crop. They should be in the midst of that. That is in agreement with the Chinese official forecast, and I think with USDA's forecast as well. Will they be able to bring it in?
I think they will. There's going to be a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity and some rain and some cooler weather in some areas of China, but no big system that will plague a large area. And it looks like the run-of-the-mill early autumn weather for China for harvest operations.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at MurrayWiseAssociates.com.